This is a fascinating text today, with those who shouldn't know who Jesus is knowing, and those who should know who Jesus is not so much. But first, a word about Synod Assembly. The theme was, I love to tell the story. And yes, the hymn is going to start going through your minds. And instead of as many statistics, we heard many stories. Some of folks courageously overcoming great hardships and telling what God had done for them. Some doing what might be unpopular but right and telling what God had done for them. And some telling stories of faith that could have been all our story as we tell what God has done for us. And our story today comes in a section of stories which display the power of God at work in Jesus, in his mastery over the elements, demons, illness, and even death. First, over the elements of nature, as Jesus calmed a storm they encountered on the way over the water. Then over demons in our text for today. And then the next story over illness and death itself in the encounter with the woman with the flow and Jairus' daughter. Also, earlier in chapter 8, Jesus redefines family by stating that his family consists of those who hear the word of God and do it. And it will be clear at the end of our text that the demoniac has become part of Jesus' family. When the disciples succumbed to fear in that raging storm over the water, Jesus asks, "Where is your faith?" And we will see in our story that fear is displayed by the demons and by the community who had lost their pigs and regained one of their people. And faith will be displayed by the demoniac who hears the word of God and does it. The story of the encounter with the storm, which comes just before our reading, ends with an important question. They had a big old storm come upon them, and Jesus was asleep. So they woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed and said to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him?" Who then is this that he commands even the winds and the water and they obey him? While our passage today begins with the demons crying out, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" the disciples wonder who Jesus is. The demons, however, know he is Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Now, in our day and time, we may not talk about demons much, but in biblical and other times, demons were thought to be very real, and it's a world of spirits and nymphs, centaurs and angels who controlled natural processes and often took possession of folks or controlled their fate. And the demons joined right in. And each group of lesser powers obeyed a greater power. And people invoked, magic, amulets, sacrifices, rituals to have any hope of appeasing or escaping these spiritual powers. And here comes Jesus, First of all, wading into unclean Gentile territory, and then encountering demons which were unclean, and someone who lived in the tombs and the dead were considered unclean. So the man possessed would be unclean many times over and would infect Jesus with his uncleanness. But Jesus wades in, talking to the demons without fear, even taking them on, asking their name, thus gaining power over them, demanding that they come out of the man and negotiating with them. Who is this man? And the negotiations do not go well for the demons. They get what they want, to not be thrown into the abyss where disobedient spirits were imprisoned. They go into the pigs, who then run into the water and drown, taking the demons with them. Jesus has outwitted the devil. This legion of demons, and a Roman legion is 5,000 to 6,000 men. That's a lot of demons. But the demons that wanted most to avoid being sent into the abyss have been drowned in the lake. Jesus has displayed the power of God in him by outwitting the demons, but he didn't make many human friends. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Their first reaction to the restoration of this man was fear. What had happened? How had the demons been vanquished? Who is this man? The exorcism is confirmed by witnesses, you need three, who see the man restored to peace and normalcy. We have the swineherds, the people who came to see, and all the people of the surrounding country. And they saw that the man was clothed, sane, and at the feet of Jesus. As one at the feet of Jesus, this unnamed man joins with the woman who anoints Jesus' feet, Jairus, Mary, and the grateful leper. But the people who are aware that something spectacular and powerful and mysterious has taken place cannot make a place for it or accommodate their lives to it. Their response, again out of a place of fear, is to ask Jesus to leave. So Jesus, after showing God's power in him as Son of the Most High God, leaves. The man who had been possessed begs to follow Jesus, but Jesus says, no, return to your home here in Gentile territory and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him, thus again equating the power of God with Jesus. Now, the man's community had tried to preserve both him and themselves from the power of the demons. Shackling and guarding him allowed them to feed him, keep him alive while keeping themselves safe. When unshackled, he leaves the world of the living for the world of the tombs. His life under the power of demons is a paradox of being shackled in a fearful community or freed in a terrible loneliness. When the demon leaves the man, his life is reordered. Unshackled, he is able not only to be in the presence of others, but even to sit at the feet of Jesus. Furthermore, this freedom that the man experiences is a gift, and it is expressed by discipleship, because sitting at the feet of someone is a clear expression for being a disciple. The demoniac has been saved. He's saved from that horrible slavery, free to rejoin his community, able to sit quietly, to learn, and strong enough to articulate both desire and assent to his own vocation. And while this man wanted desperately to follow Jesus and was prepared to hop in the boat even as Jesus was pulling away, he was sent back to his city. That's not the way Jesus addresses many who seek to follow him. We just can't generalize about what Jesus asks of his followers. Vocation is unique to the one called. Often it seems that we are called to do that which we do not want to do. Think how unbelievably difficult it would have been for the demoniac to return to his hometown where he was so well known. People would have watched him carefully for a long time. He probably would not have married. Not only had he been possessed, but his cure had cost the townspeople their living. But there is great freedom and strength in witnessing to what we know. And the man told the truth as he knew it. There are difficulties in this passage, very real difficulties for all disciples. And they come from the inside and the outside. One of them is fear. What we do not understand, what interrupts our relatively ordered lives, even if it's for someone's good, frightens us. How can this be? What might this be? Where does this power come from? What if it turns against me? What does this power want? Who is this man? These are the questions of the townsfolk. Add to that fear the fact that their economy has been destroyed by the loss of their pigs, and we can understand why they can't run Jesus out of town fast enough. Yep, when the saved demoniac returns home, he is very courageous indeed. But it is a courage that comes from knowing everything Jesus has done for him. What if we spent a little time in that space, thinking about what Jesus has done for St. James, for us as a community, for us as family, as individuals? How would it change our lives? If we had a life lived in freedom and love, where we do love to tell the story of Jesus and his power and his love. Amen.